This morning I wanted to share on, I called it Get Back in the Fight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is a wonderful verses, that are very challenging and encouraging at the same time. And we'll start there in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Wait till you all have it. 5:14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all," and this is the challenge, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You know, God's encouragement here in his word is for those who believe on Jesus Christ to no longer live for themselves, but for him which died for them and rose again, to live for Christ. In verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation," is the word. "Old things are passed away," and it literally reads, "new things have come." So the exhortation here is for us to live for him. And the amount of that living for him that we choose to do is up to us. You know, there's no limit on this at all. All it says here is that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto Christ. And that's a challenge, because most people, and you know, we're very used to living for ourselves, just the natural thing you do in life. But how many actually start to translate that to live for Jesus Christ? And in Galatians chapter 2, Verse 19 is, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." He says, "I'm dead, but I'm alive. Crucified, but I live. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, we just read, you know, before God wrote that we ought to live unto Christ. Now here we learn that once we are born again, once we've made Jesus our Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, and we have the new birth, here it says that we died with Christ. So, you know, the other life that we're used to living for ourselves, here it says that that one's dead. If you want to make it dead, you can, you know, let it reign if you want to. But really, what he's telling us to do is allow Christ to reign. He goes, not I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. See, there's the new life that we now have. And here, I'm going to read it to another translation, reads like this: "With Christ I have been crucified, and I live no longer. But living in me is Christ. So what I now live in the flesh, I live by believing concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." See, Christ must permeate all of our life. Our thinking, our actions, the things that we aim for, our habits. Christ is to permeate all those, because living in us is Christ. And biblically speaking, the old us was crucified with him. I live no longer the way it reads. I can choose to kind of stay back there and try to live that old way and live for myself and forget it, but that's not what God's exhortation is. There's, you're to reckon the old man, you're to reckon that dead, and now alive in us is Christ. So our thoughts, our leadings, when we talk to people, the things that happen at work or the situations that we come across every day, it's Christ that lives, Christ living within us. No longer what I want out of the situation or the conversation or the whatever thing that I'm involved in, but what would the Lord want out of this? That's for whom we live. In Galatians chapter 6. You know, it's not just something, and this is where it gets to be a little bit, it's not something we just do, but it's something that we are. And there's a big distinction there. Because, you know, I can say, okay, I'm going to go to fellowship once a week on Sunday, and I'm going to be really holy for a couple hours, and then I'm not going to think about God for the rest of my rest of the week. You know, it's really stupid of me to do that, and to be dumb. But I could do that. And a lot of times people get into that, where, you know, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to do my little holy thing. And that's by saying it's not something we do. It's not that. It's something that we are. You know, you could get up in the morning and pray for 3 hours and not do anything useful for God that day. Or you could go and get up in the morning and not pray for a second and still be the most blessed and in fellowship person, because it's not just the things and the actions that we do, you understand? It's what we are, right? Why do I pray in the morning or whenever I pray? Why? Because it's something that we are. It's not something, it's just an action that I want to go through every day. Okay, that one's done. Tick that box off. Read my Bible, tick that box off, and then forget about living for Christ in every situation and circumstance of that day and of the whole week. It's something that we are. Living within us is Christ. That's what the Word of God says. I live no longer. And that's more of a challenge than a reality, because I have to choose that the old me is crucified with the Lord. And now I want Christ in me. And we always use that same verse that we talk about a lot in the fellowship when John the Baptist said, you know, he must increase, I must decrease. Sort of the same line of thinking. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which represents all the accomplishments that led to, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Just another way of saying, I live no longer. Here the way it's written is, the world is dead to me, and I am dead to the world. You see, that because it says in many other places, love not the world or the things of the world. It says, you know, God says it in different ways. Here he writes, Paul writes, I am dead to the world. You know, the world, what I used to be, is gone. I am now Christ in me. And the world, by the way, he says, is dead to me. All the things, the leadings, the things people get caught up in the world and they're trying to accomplish, and those are dead to me. Because living in us is Christ. That is the paramount thing that must dominate our thinking. That's what he writes here. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. You know, whether you do the works or not, but a new creation. There it is said just this different way, but so the life living within us is Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3, another way of saying it. You get to read throughout the New Testament, especially the seven church epistles, and you know, it's said in different ways, but the exhortation for us to believe is the same, is to believe on all that Jesus Christ has accomplished. And for us to live in a new life. And I titled this Get Back in the Fight, because a lot of times, and we'll look at a few verses related to that, but a lot of times Christians pull themselves out of the fight by just going through actions of things and not being who they are. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, if you then be, or the word should be since you be risen with Christ, because it's a reality, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Isn't that just another way of saying what was written in Galatians? The world is dead to me, I to the world. You know, our affection is on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. There it is. dead. Close the book, go home, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where your real life is. The old one is dead. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That is just, what an exciting thing to think about. You know, our life is Christ. Now, we may not attain to all that that means in this life, but someday when he comes back, guess what? You're going to appear with him in glory. And I mean, I for one don't want to that day think, gee, I wish I had done this, and this when I was here. I know there'll be no regrets, but the exhortation is to live for him now. In that verse, and look at and that whole understanding of Christ living within us. Before we ever, if we don't understand that, then the other things that we do will just be tiresome, frustrating, and you know it won't amount to anything. So God writes here in Colossians by Paul, he writes, first of all, recognize that you are seated at the right hand with my Son, and your real life is Christ. Now because of that, he says, as soon as you understand that, verse 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, you know, all these other evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for you know, all these things that we oughtn't get involved in. Now, if I just start concentrating on the things and try to stop this and try to stop lying and stop do all this without understanding that Christ is my life, living within me is Christ, and I live no longer, that will just be frustration. A lot of times, religion, that's what religion teaches, you know, clean up the flesh and the outside and stop this and don't do that and don't smoke and don't drink and all that or whatever they want to get into. But it's not from cleaning the platter on the outside. Here God says, recognize who you are and where you're seated and where your real life is, and that ought to lead you to live differently when you're living here. And that's what God's exhortation there is. By the way, the word mortify there is used a few other places in the Bible, and it's translated in Romans and Hebrews as good as dead. So what it's saying here is all the other things that you used to do or get involved in, just consider that as good as dead. It's dead. You can look at the references up, Romans 4:19 and Hebrews 11:12. So we're to treat the sinful side of life as good as dead. That's no longer us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, our lives are to be found and are built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ only, nowhere else. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, because our lives are not like the rest of the world, you know, and really they shouldn't be, like the rest of the world. You know, it's a shame when believers behave or become just like everybody else. I remember in our brother in Christ there in Pennsylvania coined the wonderful phrase called chameleon Christians. You know, where you're a believer and you just kind of merge in with the landscape of whatever's going on, you know. Chameleon, that was a nice way of saying it, but you know, if we get caught up in the same confessions, the same hopes, the same conversations, you know, the same thinking, the same goals and things that everybody else, same thoughts and so on, you know, that's not what God's exhortation is to live for the Lord is, right? We are not of the world. That is, those aren't not the things that we should be getting caught up in. And if we don't understand the position that we have with Christ in us, we'll just do like everybody else. But if we recognize the importance of our lives to live for him, like we started off by saying, not for ourselves, but live for him, then those things fail to have any attraction for us. We are not of the world, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we should, you know, let's read it first. I'll say that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So here God writes, you know, look, whether you like it or not, okay, there is a race going on. There is a battle that is waging around us. It's a spiritual battle. We'll look at a couple more verses about that. But here, God says, look, everybody runs in a race. Everybody's going to run. But one receiveth the prize. So here he says, run that you may obtain. The world is caught up in running a race to obtain corruptible things. And he says, you are involved in a race, and you're going to lead to incorruptible things. He says, so run that you may obtain. Get back in the fight if you feel like you're out of it. If you feel like the world has barreled you down, mowed you under, and left you in the side, well, just get up and get back in the fight. The world is not going to get any kinder to you. It's not going to happen. But remember, living in you is Christ. You live no longer. And it is your choice and my choice to live unto Him. Regardless of what the world is up to and the various corruptible things thereafter and the thoughts and passions and all the things of the world, my choice day by day is to live for Him. Every conversation, every discussion, every thought, every action, every goal. In the Weymouth translation, verse 26, did I read that? No, I didn't. I therefore so run, in King James, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And Weymouth translates that, that is how I run, not being in any doubt as to my goal. We know where we are going. So what is the context of this section in Corinthians? I purposely read the last part first. I want to go show you the context in 1 Corinthians 9:19. It says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And here's a great section here about what Paul did. And now, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. You see, he goes through a bunch of things here where he talks about he did whatever was necessary in whatever situation he was. Do you think it might have made him a little uncomfortable to act these ways and to be, when he knew that, did he have to be under the law anymore? No, but he said, you know, sometimes I just put myself under the law just so I could reach the Jewish people. And then the Gentiles, how about you think maybe he didn't want to act? But he said he did that. Why? Why did he put himself in uncomfortable? That's what I get at when I talk about, you know, what we are, not just things we do. If what we are makes you feel uncomfortable when you're with other people, then you ought to go back to God's Word and read again just what you are and what your life means to our Father God. Maybe the uncomfortableness will subside. I've seen, you know, I mean, how many conversations, situations have you been in when somebody in the group will mouth some ridiculous evil philosophy and they have no qualms about being very vocal and very open about this thing? Well, how dare they? They don't feel guilty, uncomfortable. So why should us speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ ever make us feel uncomfortable? If it makes them feel uncomfortable, I don't care. Because you know what? If they believe you, guess what? They get eternal life. And that's worth uncomfortableness, isn't it? So let's keep reading. Paul says, verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Maybe he sat down with somebody and all night when they were depressed or sore, I don't know, whatever, it doesn't give you detail. He said he did whatever was necessary. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save some. And this I do, and here's the context, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof. Then it goes on to, know ye not, they which run a race. What's the race? The race is to make known, part of that is to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. So people can come to it and be saved. We are, once you believe, you're saved. So, you know, God's exhortation now is, okay, now you're saved. You got there. Now, learn to stop living for yourself and start living for Christ. And that's the challenge. That's what it says. Let's go to 2 Timothy. A couple more verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So to get back in that fight. And again, as we've mentioned before, this section of scripture is written at a time when the first century church was in its decline, having some challenging times. So they came up with a really amazing way to solve the problem. A completely new doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is going to happen. Preach the word. Here's the solution. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, and he's talking to Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. So Paul was about to die, and the time of my departure is at hand. Here, I have fought a good fight. You know, it's amazing that a man could declare that. Because remember when he first got born again? What did he say? He goes, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. I'm the least. I can't believe that this even ever happened to me. And here at the end of his life, what does he say? I have fought a good fight. Make no mistake, it is a fight. I think we all recognize that. After you've been a believer for a few years, you recognize, you know, and as Brenda was sharing, you know, it's a fight. It's not, and here Paul writes, I have fought a good fight. And what does that mean? I have finished my course. And in Corinthians, he was talking about running the race, right? And here at the end of it, I have finished, I have kept the faith, or the right way of believing. He taught the right doctrine. He preached Christ. He made known Christ from the day that the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally witnessed to him until the day that he was writing. He made known Jesus Christ to small and to great. Anyone who came to him, he made known Christ. Might that be an exhortation or encouragement to what we might do in getting back in the fight? To make known Jesus Christ, every situation, every circumstance, every opportunity you get, that by all means we might save some. Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now there is the goal, there it is, always in prize, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not only to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come on shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Look at this, having loved this present world. Now, didn't we just read all those places where it said, not to love the world, we're not of the earth, you know, let's not go after the things in here. This guy forsook him, more than he went after the world. He forsook, he went after God, the world, not the word. And is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me and for the ministry. Antichicus have I left sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. See, just a whole record here of Paul writing, what he went through, and then even then, when everything was finished, there were still people trying to attack him, people withstanding his words, people turned to fables, not listening, and yet he tells Timothy, Timothy, you just preach the word of God, you make it known. I don't care if you feel like it or not, and that's a season, not a season. I don't care if you feel like it, I don't care if it makes you feel uncomfortable. The end goal is worth all that. Verse 16, my first answer, this is when Paul was in the courts, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. What do you think is always going to be with you, no matter how uncomfortable or how bad your day might be or the things that have happened? What do you think is never going to forsake you? He stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a great record at the end of a man's life who had stood faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I really would like to be able to say that. You know, at the end of my life, I'd like to be able to say that. We'll close in Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about the fight. We certainly have to read Ephesians 6. Don't be sidelined. Don't allow the world and the leadings of the world and all that's out there to make you a bystander. Stay in the fight. It's well worth it. The end result is well worth it. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. And Gladys, you were talking about this before fellowship. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the thing is, most people don't even think they wrestle. And, you know, if you're in a battle and you don't even know it, you're done. The best thing is stealth, right? And here, God writes, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high or in high places. Many believers, many Christians, don't even know that they're in a battle of any kind. And if you don't even know you're in a battle, I think, you know, you're pretty much lost. But, you know, the Word of God isn't, this is not just some kind of myth here or some kind of, we are in a spiritual battle. And here it says, you wrestle against spiritual wickedness from on high. And don't forget verse 10, be strong in the Lord, right? You're not going to beat that wickedness on your own. Be strong in the Lord, because he's the one who never forsakes you. So verse 13, wherefore take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You just stand. That's what, you know, a lot of times just getting back in the fight is nothing more than just standing faithfully day after day after day after day on God's word. Maybe you win nobody. Maybe no one listens to you like Noah. Maybe no one listens to you. That's not the point. The point is, where are you at? Who am I living for? Who are we living for? If I judge based on results, you know, Noah would be a waste of time, wouldn't he? And yet, what did he do? He preserve the Christ line so the Lord Jesus Christ could come. How about Paul? At the end of his days, everybody forsook me. How about Jesus Christ on the cross? No one was there. Just some of the women were there. You know, so stand, having done all to stand. 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the word of God, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the word of God again. Above all, taking the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which, by the way, is the Word of God. You know, pretty clear what the armor is here, isn't it? Either it's the Word of God or things you've learned from the Word of God. And finally, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, you know, if we feel like we've been burdened down a little bit or tired, or that's okay. You know, The Word of God says that's going to happen too. But, you know, don't you allow that to get you out of the fight. Like the way the Paul the Apostle said. He started off, you know, who am I? And at the end of his life, he was able to, you know, I've finished the course. I have kept the right way of believing. And he did whatever it took to bring the gospel to anybody. And, you know, we ought to learn the lesson that once we get born again of God's Spirit, we don't live for ourselves, but unto Him which died for us and rose again. We live no longer, and living within us is Christ. And that is where our real life is. So, that's it.